Father, it is almost impossible for us to comprehend the magnitude and the encompassing power of what we call the love of God. But Father, we would that you would open our eyes of understanding, open our hearts that we might appreciate and reverence the aspect of that love as it has been extended to each and every one of us.
Yes, Lord.
Father, whatever our circumstance may have been, whatever our circumstance may be, whatever might befall us even in the future, Father, that love perpetuates our position of deliverance and safety and healing and deliverance, Father, and it brings us that resurrection life.
Yes, yes.
My God, we are so thankful this evening that we have the opportunity to move under the auspices of your authority, to move under the auspices of your Spirit, Father, to touch, as it were, the hem of your garment. Father, it is the Word of God. My God, it says in the beginning, the Word was God. Hallelujah. Father, and that Word was the life and the light of men. My God, it is that light and life and Word that you are now in this dispensation speaking unto our hearts, speaking unto our soul, Father, that we might rise up and shake ourselves from the dust of our humanity, that we might know the reality of the provision, the door that you have put before us, my God, that we might be able to be partakers of that glory. My God, we just present our minds to you today, this evening. We present our emotions and our desires. Father, we ask for your preeminence. I pray for the ears of the hearer. My God, I pray that you would move by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to bring us to that place of total and complete redemption. We ask it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this evening, you might want to open them to 2 Corinthians. And let's see, where was the verse? 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And I want to read the two verses the Lord spoke to me this evening. I want to read verse 1 and 2. Would to God ye would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am a jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you unto one husband, that I might present you a chaste virgin to Christ. Praise God. We were discussing, at least I was sharing with you, the objective of God's calling and election. So many times in Christianity, and especially in the sonship message, we put a lot of inferences on the calling and the election. We seemingly are wanting to know what our calling in election is. Where is it that we fit into the scheme of God? And unfortunately, whenever we're thinking about calling in an election, we are still thinking about the fivefold ministry. What part of those ministries do I fall into? But the whole purpose of the ministry in that capacity, as well as the revelation of God, was to bring the understanding to you and I in a congregational knowledge that it is not that position, is not that place that is of importance.
Right.
Hallelujah. What is important is what is it that God wants to accomplish in the aspect of what it is that He is doing. And you can sum it up, you can really sum it up in one word. Praise the Lord. You can sum it up into one word, and that word is the word Christ. Hallelujah. Because the intent or the thought in the beginning when they had the council in heaven was the objective was Christ. The development of an entity of a personality that was totally different than anything that God had made or anything that God had created. And in some respects it was a further development of his thinking in the aspect of God and who and what he is. Hallelujah. Because Christ would be the vehicle by which God and man could meld or merge together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, for whatever reason God has in his mind, which I don't know that I am totally and fully comprehending it, there was a necessity in that he created a need for man. Hallelujah. He created a need for man in his thinking. I mean that God needs man in some capacity or another in order to facilitate and to fulfill what is in his mind. So man, in the aspect of his creation, was the first step in that metamorphosis process. Hello? Hallelujah. And that word metamorphosis is something that is very important as far as the aspect of the revelation of God is concerned. Because we are to metamorphose from human to a being that is, and I don't really know how you would want to categorize this being.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because he's God and man mingled together, joined, co-joined, so to speak, in a fashion and form that you cannot differentiate between what is man and what is God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we have the validation of this thought, we have the validation of this idea in the aspect of what it was Jesus Christ, Jesus the man, who had the Spirit of Christ, hello, hallelujah, how he behaved and how he operated with God, hallelujah. Because when Philip came wanting to see a physical demonstration of who and what God was, praise the Lord, hallelujah, what did Jesus say to him? And he asked the question in something of a quizzical manner, you understand. When I say he asked it as though Philip should have known the reality of what was standing before him. Because he said, Philip, have I been this time with you so long? And I think that's an important phrase for us also, in that we have a tendency to regulate the visual manifestation of God to a visual entity, physical entity that we can touch and that we can hear, see, smell, whatever the case may be. But in the reality of it, if you have the Spirit of God, you have the ability to discern God in no matter what form or fashion he wants to take it. Take it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the physical form that he wanted to that was being represented at the time was his human being, his human body. And he said, Philip, have I been so long with you? Now, we can criticize Philip all you want to, and you can say, well, he had that physical evidence, but quite frankly, brethren, we have the word. And the Bible says, and the word was God. Hallelujah. So God and the word are one and the same thing. It is that we just cannot seemingly discern it or recognize it as it is being manifested in some manner our capacity. Hello? Hallelujah. When there are certain attributes or things, operations of the Spirit that we have the privilege of participating in, we can prophesy, we can pray and heal somebody. Hallelujah. Our prayer, our faith, does something in the aspect of that individual's position of illness, and God moves in a miraculous manner. Now, who healed him? And what was the vehicle through which God chose to move? Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Now, I am not usurping the position of Christ. I'm not usurping the authority of God, because God has designated a medium by which he might come yet to another manifestation, another position or a place of reality to humanity as a total demonstration of God and man working together. Now, if you go into John chapter 17, when he is praying for the disciples, he's not just praying for the disciples. He's also praying for those of us who believe on him. Hello? Through what word? He said, he prayed for them that would believe on him through their. Hello? Their word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And now, there's a passing of a mantle. There's a passing of a baton. Hello? God gave it to Jesus. Jesus gave it to the disciples. And he instructed the disciples to give it to all of those that would believe through their word. Hello? Hallelujah. So you have the book of Romans, the book of Matthew, Luke, John, the book of Acts, the Hebrews, the Gospels of Peter, the Gospels of John. Hello? Amen. Are they words written on a page? What are they? They are a demonstration of the character of God. They are a demonstration of the authority that has delegated by Jesus to man, that has passed to them, that as we take it and embrace it, we believe. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll give you a very good example. Romans. Paul is writing in the book of Romans that you must make confession with your mouth. Hello? Unto what? Salvation. So that word, how many times do you use that word in witnessing and testifying and leading somebody to the Lord? Huh? Have you ever used it?
Sure.
What was the result? You guys are looking at me very funny. Huh?
People get saved.
Now, why did they get saved? Because the authority that is in the word and Amen. The delegation of the authority to the individual that is using the word to get them saved. Hallelujah. So in some manner, some little position, there is a working in a commingling. Hallelujah. And there's also the word in John in the 17th chapter there when he's talking about that they may all be one, as thou art, Father, in me, this is verse 21, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Hallelujah. It's not your ability to prophesy. It's not your ability to dream dreams. It's not your ability to interpret dreams. It's not even your ability to expound on the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's not our ability to have revelation and the aspects of all of what is the doctrinal foundation of our belief. That is not what brings the reality of man and God working together. Huh? The reality that comes is in the singleness of mind, the singleness of purpose, and the designated position of responsibility that each individual, through their set of circumstances which is peculiar to them, are working to achieve. But yet, in the differentness of their natures, the differentness of their circumstance, they have one objective. They have one objective, that the reality of Elohim, the reality of God, might be manifested in such a manner, in such a way, that it brings conviction to them that there is a living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the objective that God is working toward is called Christ. Huh? Hallelujah. 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 And it says, I want to go down, and the glory that which thou hast given me, now this is after that they may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory, verse 22, that the glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Hallelujah. Now, he calls it glory, but that glory is not like an effervescent, shiny little lamp or a bright color that comes out of your, radiates out of your skin. The glory, simply put, is the revelation or the uncovering of that particular nature that is within the individual. And it really goes farther than that, because this verse is in reference to what he said up in verse number 5. And it's very interesting that this aspect of glory is representative, is designated as in verse 5, because 5 is the number of ministry. Hallelujah. So if you're looking for your ministry, hallelujah, you can find it here in the aspect of what he is instructing his disciples concerning their position of personal relationship in their personal set of circumstances. If you go up to verse 5, he says, and now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, what glory is he talking about? He's talking about the position of omni character. He's talking about the position of omniscience, the all-knowingness of God. He's talking about the capacity of power and authority, all authority. Hallelujah. And not only that, he's also talking about the omnipresence of the Spirit. Okay, let me give it to you another way. I'm sure that we have dreamers in here. People who go to bed at night and they dream, and in their dream they're clear around the world somewhere else. Hello? Hallelujah. And they're seeing a situation that is unfolding and working out, and it is really not a dream. It's really a scenario that's really happening to someone in some place, and that scenario is playing itself out. Now, how did you have that dream? Where did you get that information? Hallelujah. I remember one time I went to bed and I had this dream, and it was a terrible dream. It was like a nightmare to me, because in the dreams, something was happening to another person in another place, hallelujah, that was thousands of miles away from me. And, you know, being dull and slow as I am, I kind of thought, well, this is just a nightmare. This is just the devil trying to work a situation here to deceive me and get me all upset. But, you know, as I begin to think about it, and as I begin to meditate on it, the Lord began to prompt me to call some people in that far country. Hallelujah. And in the course of time, as I was talking to them or prior to talking to them, the Lord began to reveal to me that one of the individuals there was involved in a situation, and the devil intended to bring destruction to them. Hello? Hallelujah. And I did not know that at that time they were involved in this set of circumstances. So when I called and began to explain to them what was happening, they began to hear from the Lord and begin to know what it was they needed to do in order to avoid the tragic thing that the devil had planned. Hello? Hallelujah. And they were delivered. Hallelujah. Because it was a woman that was pregnant and she was about to give birth. Hallelujah. And the devil was going to not only take the child, but was going to take her life.
My God.
Huh? But God foiled the plan.
Amen.
God moved in a divine manner. Now, how did he do that? Is it because I'm such a wonderful, likable fellow? Hallelujah. Yeah, you're laughing. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. No, because for whatever reason, I was open to the moving of the Spirit, and God brought me into his counsel, and he took me out of the place that I was in and took me to another place in the world. And not only that, but he translated me from the present to the future. Hello? Hallelujah. So that I could see the whole scenario being played out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it was just by God's mercy and divine intervention that I did not throw it in the trash can. Some of us throw our dreams in the trash can. Hallelujah. We throw them in the trash can. Or we put them in a book and put them on the shelf and forget about them. Hallelujah. I remember one year I was in... living my life, and I was dreaming prolifically. Oh, I don't know how many dreams I had during that period of time in that particular year. And it was dream after dream after dream after dream after dream. And I would write them down. That was before we had the computers and all of that. Hallelujah. And I put them on the shelf, and every now and then I would go back to them and I'd read them. And you know, was down the road about 10 years or so down the road, all of a sudden I found myself in a circumstance. I saw myself in a certain set of circumstances. And as I was there, I said, you know, I think I had a dream about this somewhere, sometime.
Amen.
And that must have been God, because I don't remember things. Hallelujah. So, but I did remember what I did with my little notebook, because I would every now and then go and pull it out and blow the dust off of it and read some of the things that were there. Hello? Hallelujah. And you know, every one of those dreams came to pass.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Every one of those dreams came to pass. Every one of them. Hallelujah. And it prepared me for one thing. It gave me the ability to know and understand that God was aware of my set of circumstances and that he was in control of it, because he told me about it 10 years before.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, I don't know, maybe I could have avoided some of the actions of those dreams had I been more diligent and was praying about them more diligently and whatnot. I don't know. But what I do know is that dreams are important. Not all dreams come from God, but those dreams that come from God are important. They're important. Hallelujah. And you know, we should take the effort to record them. We should take the effort to go back over to rehearse them. And sometimes, you know, as you're being sensitive in the spirit, to take that dream and take it like the letter that the prophet put on the altar before the Lord and ask him for a clarity or a definition of that dream. It might save your life. Hallelujah. It might save you a lot of trouble. It might save you a lot of heartache. Hello? Hallelujah. But that's just one of the attributes. That's just one of the things that comes with the package that is called Christ. But we get sidetracked. We get sidetracked. We get sidetracked in the gift. We get sidetracked into prophecy. We get sidetracked into dreaming, and we get sidetracked, and it becomes the epitome of our gospel. All of these things that come is because of the package. Hallelujah. They're part of the attributes of that package. And that package is called Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And there's the other fact here that I want to reiterate is that you'll have to determine if the if is applying to you. If you are born again, if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you have been baptized in water, hallelujah, under the right authority, for the right reasons, if you have been baptized, you are not an entity that is under the authority or the power of the devil. You can say amen.
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 Hallelujah. You are translated.
Oh my gosh.
Huh? You are translated out of the kingdom.
Darkness.
Who is the king of darkness? He is Satan. He's the one who rules over that dominion. Hallelujah. And to whatever degree I suppose that I participate in that dominion, he has a right to interfere with my life.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. But legally speaking,
right.
Hallelujah, I have been translated into the kingdom of light.
Yeah.
Huh? So whose authority am I supposed to be under? Whose jurisdiction is over me? But that jurisdiction is dependent upon my position of submission and my willingness or my position of understanding the mechanics of the circumstance. We, like Paul, are so often kicking against the pricks. Hallelujah. We are kicking against the prick. We get into a situation or a circumstance, whatever it may be, and it's just something we don't appreciate. It's just something we don't enjoy. It's not something that we really want. And maybe we're grinding our teeth and submitting to it, but we're really not submitting to it on the inside.
Amen.
Hello? Because we are thinking that we should be treated better.
Mm.
Huh? Hallelujah. We can moan and groan about, of course you probably don't do that. We can moan and groan about our circumstances, and we can lament how bad we've got it and how the terrible things are going, but we are not under that spirit. We do not know the spirit under which we are under and the authority that is given to us because of it. We want to be delivered out of the discomfort. Huh? I suppose Paul wanted to be delivered from the discomfort of the prison. Huh? I suppose that James wanted to be delivered from the axe of the headsman. Hello? Hallelujah. I suppose John, in some manner or fashion, wanted to be delivered from Patmos.
Yeah.
Huh? Now, history says they tried to kill him. So now you're seeing the aspect of resurrection, the aspect of eternal life playing out. They said they couldn't kill him. That's what history says. Hallelujah. And they did so many different things to try to kill him, and they couldn't kill him. The best thing they could do was to remove the man from their sight and make sure that he couldn't get back into it. Hello? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. But the fact of the matter was, he had a divine appointment with God out there on Patmos.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And for some reason, John wasn't in the position to make that appointment in the condition and in the way that he needed to be in order to hear what it was that God wanted to speak to the man. So he had to go through all of these other issues, all of these other things, a little, and to have and receive the persecution that he received, hello, in order to get him into a place that he would be receptive to hear God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I am positive that when God came down on Patmos, that John probably did not want to be anywhere else at that particular time.
That's right. Amen.
It doesn't mean his body wasn't hurting. It doesn't mean his spirit, his soul wasn't hurting. It doesn't mean that he was not feeling some sort of pain or whatever is associated with the human discomfort of his circumstance. I don't know what his circumstance. It's just a hunk of rock out there in the middle of the ocean. Hallelujah. They didn't have any luxury hotel there at that time. Far as I know, he could have been in a cave, you understand? And tell me, how much care do you think they're going to take of John while he's out there? Do you think they're going to hire a chef to feed him? Huh? Somebody to come in and clean his sheets, change his sheets? Hallelujah. If he had a bed, or even if he slept, I don't know. He was a busy man. Because God caught him up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God caught him up in the spirit. And not only did God catch him up, God translated him to the future. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it took everything up until the time he was on Patmos for John to be ready for that experience, to be in that position, to be delegated as that person to stand before the council of God. Hallelujah. And for one reason alone, that we might know the reality of the Christ. Hallelujah. Every individual is designated a Christ nature. When you are born again, when you are born again, hallelujah, you receive the blood of Jesus Christ. You are now have the potential, you now have the destiny, the preordained destiny. Now, brethren, it did not start out here. Hello? It did not start out here. It started in here with this position, this place of salvation. This is where it started, right here. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? There is the promise of preordination. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. There is the promise of redemption. There is the promise of the hope that you will live eternally, and that you will not dwell in hell, but you will walk in the heavenlies with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yes. Hallelujah. We're trying to be good Christians. We're trying to be good Christians. That's what we're trying to be. And it's not that we shouldn't be trying to be good Christians. Hello? But just to be good Christians isn't sufficient. Hallelujah. There are many of them that were good Christians. They had good reports and they passed on. Hello? But they received not the promise. The promise was Christ. The goal was Christ. Hallelujah. Paul put it this way. He says, it is Christ in you. The what?
Glory.
What glory? What are you talking about when you say glory? What do you have in your mind? Huh? Living and walking down streets of gold? Sleeping in pearly mansions and eating good food? What is your concept of glory? Huh? My concept of glory is nature. Hallelujah. When Jesus went up on the mount with those men, he went up there as a man and he manifested himself as God-man. Huh? Now listen to me. It wasn't just something that was out of the ordinary for who and what he was. And why did he do that? He knew that the disciples were wanted to denominationalize it. That's what he knew the disciples, what the disciples were. Oh, let's build a tabernacle for you, build a tabernacle for Moses, build a tabernacle for Elijah. Hallelujah. They wanted to make a church. They wanted to denominationalize the glory. They wanted to denominationalize the idea or the thought or the theology of Christ. They wanted to put it into a box. Hello? Hallelujah. And then like so many over the last several thousand years, take it and sell it and make a profit off of it. A profit that does not help them eternally. It just makes their self-life a bit more comfortable and a bit more extravagant. Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed how prosperity works? Have you ever noticed how it works? You're not so prosperous and you're striving to make ends meet and you're watching your P's and Q's and you're utilizing all of your money to do this and to do that and to do this. And in the midst of it, you might be doing your legalistic, fulfilling your legalistic position of responsibility, paying your tithes, going to church, being benevolent, serving on this committee, serving on that committee, doing this, doing that, all of which are good things. Hello? Hallelujah. But most of them are self-orientated. And really, don't get mad at me. If you're not in that category, then you don't have anything to worry about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the theology of God is not 30-fold. Mm-hmm. How many of you want to be 100-fold?
Amen.
How many fold are you expending? How much of what it is you are utilizing to develop the kingdom of God in your own personal life, in the life of your home, in the life of your community, in the life of your fellowship? How much are you expending? And on the global basis also, by the way, what is the effort? What is your effort? What are you involved in doing? And how much of it are you giving? Come on, brethren. There's a practicality concerning sonship message. Sonship message is not a gospel of 30-fold or 60-fold. Sonship message is a gospel of 100-fold, giving 100-fold. Hello? Hallelujah. James, go back to James. Read James. Bless that man's heart. Hallelujah. He says, you say to me, you can bring me this gospel of the kingdom and this gospel of sonship. And you say to someone who doesn't have a coat, go out and be warm and God bless you. It reminds me, I watched this movie on, what's his name, Sheppy?
Yes.
Was it Sheppy? Hello. I watched this movie on Sheppy and one of the incidents, I don't remember too much about the movie except for this one thing. He was riding from one place to another place through the hills of, was it New York or?
West Virginia.
Huh? West Virginia. He was riding through the hills of West Virginia and he came upon this poor little family who was migrating from one spot to another and their horse died. Or at least it was no longer able to pull the wagon. Hello? Oh, man of God, right? He comes on the situation. Oh, praise the Lord. I'll just go up here on the hill and pray and get the provision of God and you'll be on your way again. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know where he was out in the wilderness, but it wasn't like the interstate. Hallelujah. And he was somewhere in between his destination and the place that he left. He still had a ways to go. Hello? I suppose he could have sat down there and started negotiating with God. Hello? He said, I'm going off to pray. I'll be right back here. We'll see what God has to say. Got down off his horse and started to go down the hill. And God said, why are you here? What are you doing? Isn't that right? Am I telling you right? Huh? What are you doing here? And it equated to, why are you asking me to give these people something that they need when you have it and you can give it? We don't operate on that thought. That we don't operate on that philosophy. We don't operate on it. Well, maybe you do. I don't. I don't operate. And it. And if I want the prize, if I want to come into this position of relationship, if I want the prize of what is being given to me as union with God, I have to be of a 100% fold mentality. Hello? That's the only way I can do it. Hallelujah. If I'm a 30-fold person, if I'm a 30-fold person, if I'm 30-fold out here in the outer court, if I am a 60-fold person here in the holy place, I am not going to be a candidate for the Holy of Holies. I've disqualified myself. I have disqualified, did you hear me? I have disqualified myself by my actions, by the method of my operation. What do they call it, MOS? Isn't that what they call it in the service? Huh? That is your occupational position, MOS?
That's the Army's term, yes.
Huh?
The Army's term, yes.
Yeah, something like that. Hallelujah. If I want to be a son, I have to behave like a son. I have to behave like a son. Hello? You know, when I was in the service, not picking on you, hallelujah. When I was in the service, and if I wanted advancement in my position and or my place, of recognition or rank or whatever you call it now, if I wanted to have an advancement, I had to be Army motivated. I had to be Army, I had to have an Army intellect. Hello? Did you hear me? Hallelujah. You know, I signed up for 4 years and that's all I wanted to give them. So I wasn't in that position of Army mentality, you understand me? So when it came an opportunity for advancement, and they wanted to make me sergeant, and they wanted to raise my pay, but I had to re-enlist to do it. I said, enough is enough. I said, enough is enough. I want out of here. Hallelujah. Why? Because my mind was not set on making the Army my career. And you know, and on top of that, another little illustration about that is, you know, when I went into the Army, I was really stupid in my thinking. Not because I was in the Army, but I was really stupid. You know? There were so many things, so many benefits I could have derived out of my experience there. But because I was not looking to the future, because I was not thinking in the aspect of what will happen and what I can be and what I can become. Hello? I squandered it.
Yes.
Hello? Partying was more important than being Army. Hello? And you know, yet God in His mercy and His, of course I wasn't really saved at that time, but the God in His mercy and His grace to me was so abundant. He saved my life so many times. I was hell-bent to destroy it. Hello? But he redeemed me for a purpose. He did not redeem me just to get me into heaven. He did not succor me to get me to be a good Christian. When I got saved, I got born again, I got baptized into the blood of Jesus Christ, into the water of redemption. When I got resurrected out of that, He had designated me to be a son.
Amen.
What are you designated to be?
Son.
I hope so. There's only one candidate so far. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he says, go back here to verse 22. He says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them. What glory? He's talking about the position of the Godhead. That place of authority and moving in conjunction and in union with God. Because this whole idea right here, brethren, is union with Elohim. That is 100-fold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't think God has changed his mind. Now, I may not be thinking in the right manner. I may not be behaving in the right way. Hallelujah. But you know, it does not negate the purposes and the plans of God for me. You understand? Hallelujah. And there's something else here. Hallelujah. As we go through the process, hallelujah. Well, you just forgive my drawing. They're not really what you'd call symmetrical. Huh? If I'm not willing to go through the process, if I'm not willing, you know, I can know too much. And it can be to my detriment. Did you know that? Huh? I can know too much. To him that knoweth to do good. Now, what is to do good? What is to do good? Tell me, what do you think is to do good? You're out here in the world. You're out here in sin and death. God throws a hook at you. Hallelujah. And on the hook is the promise of redemption. Not only the promise of redemption, but the promise of sonship. Hello? So what is the knowledge of doing good? You know, it really makes no difference what you are. You could be a housewife. You could be a child in your parents' home. You could be grandpas. It doesn't really make any bit. It doesn't make any difference what your employment is. Hello? That has nothing to do with it. Hello? It is the word that you have. It is the message that you have received. It is the position or the place where you have said, yes, this is what I want. That's what it's about. Hello? And that makes you different. That makes you different from an evangelical. Because if you just believed in salvation, you wouldn't be sitting here in this room. Listening to me especially. Hallelujah. You were not called to just for salvation purposes, just to be born again. You were not called. That was not the message that you heard. Many of you young people grew up under the auspices of this word. You saw the authority. You saw the action working in your parents or your grandparents or your cousin or your uncles or your aunts. My goodness. Do you not think that you won't be held accountable for some of that experience? Do you not think that God does not look at you different than he looks at someone out there that he just picks off the street? You're kind of like the cream of the crop.
Amen.
What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you even... You know, there was a song I heard somewhere. I don't think it was a church song, but it says, do you know who you are? Huh? It's a relative question. Do you know who you are? Do you know what's been paid for the purpose of you to have the revelation, to have some comprehension of the calling and the election that is upon your life? And that goes as well for us as adults, even more so. Hallelujah. Because again, to whom much is given, much is required. Hallelujah. There is a process that God wants to put us into. And we have to be put into that process. You know, you can take any saint of God. You can take Daniel. You can take Noah. You can take the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can take any of these people. Take Moses. Hello? Somebody was ministering on Moses. And his position, his place. Hallelujah. And oh my God, what did the man give up?
Yeah.
Everything.
And you're right. I believe he was being groomed to be Pharaoh. They say he built Ramesses. He was not only a candidate for Pharaoh, he was an engineer.
And a warrior.
And a warrior. Hallelujah. And they were afraid of him. Hallelujah. And it says he gave it all up. Hallelujah. Gave it all up. Hallelujah. Because there was something that he had a revelation of that was his revelation. I don't know how or where it came from. I think in some manner or another, it must have come from his mother, because I believe that she was enlisted to take care of him as he was growing up. As a wet nurse, wasn't she?
Right.
What do you think the woman was doing?
Right.
Huh? As she was feeding that baby on her chest, what do you think she was doing? Huh? Teaching him the concepts and the precepts, and that the calling and the election, and talking about his people. Hello? Hallelujah. Ingraining in him, investing in him, everything that was in her soul. Hallelujah. Concerning the knowledge of who and what he was. She knew the child was special. It's one of the few that were saved, the slaughter. Do you understand? And don't think for a moment that they didn't have prophetic words clocking about what was going on in their life and in their time of living. Huh? Hallelujah. What is it? Rachel wailing? Huh? Weeping? Before the children that were not, they had a message. They had an understanding. That woman knew what she had.
Yeah.
And she was investing herself in it. Hallelujah. Now, if you take that out of a natural set of circumstance and put them into a doctrinal position of understanding, hello, you're talking about a church that is nurturing the prospective sons of God. Hallelujah. Are we nurturing that? Are we investing our lives in that? Are we investing our substance in that? Hello. Hallelujah. Well, I think we're what is it called? Tunnel vision. Huh? Tunnel vision. And our tunnel is our current set of circumstances and everything that pertains to it. Somehow, some way, I have to come to grips of my circumstance, whatever it may be, and utilize it to the total maximum capacity in order to grow and develop in God. Hello? I don't care if I'm a doctor, a lawyer, or some other plumber, or what we call them. When I was in construction, dingbats. They were the framers. Dingbats. Hallelujah. I was a dingbat, by the way. Hallelujah. That's all we did, drive nails into wood, into other wood. Drive nails, drive nails, drive nails, drive nails, drive nails, drive nails. Hello? And if that's all I can do for the kingdom, let me do it as unto God the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
I remember one time, and I was on a job, and we were building this house. It was a big house, and I was kind of in charge of the site and the construction. And the day had started out bad, and it just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, until finally one day. I was late for something, and I'm running through the house. It's all framed up, right? It's wood framed, right? Huh? You've got the 2x4s. You know, it's all plumbing lined, right? Hello? And you nail those 2x4s down, right, to make sure that wall doesn't shift, right? Hallelujah. And I'm late for something. I don't know what I'm late for. I'm irritated. Not only irritated, but I'm angry. And I'm mumbling, and I'm running through the house. And all of a sudden, I'm wearing this baseball cap. And all of a sudden, I look up, and I see this 2x4 right here. And I was going too fast. I couldn't stop. You know, they lay the, they lay the 2x4 between the eyes of the mule. I got it right between the eyes, and I found myself looking up at stars, and it was daytime. And I was laying there, and I moaning, not grumbling, just moaning. And I heard this still small voice, and it says, "Do I have your attention now?"
Attention, please.
And I just laid there and said, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." I won't tell you what he was talking to me about. Hallelujah. Sometimes it takes a 2x4 between the eyes, you know, knock you cold, deck you, in order for God to get your attention. Sometimes you're just doing too much. You're running here, running there, doing this, doing that, doing this, doing that. You wake up in the morning and your mind is going, 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 going. You're not even out of the bed. Your feet have not even hit the floor yet. Hallelujah. And God is really kind of out there in the leeward, in the leeway, whatever they call it. Huh? He's kind of out there somewhere. You're cognizant of it. Oh, and you might say, okay, Lord bless the day, help us today, give us strength, give us it, blah, blah, blah. Amen. Hallelujah. May read a few verses. Oh, yeah, we got to read the devotional. Boom. Then you're gone. You're gone. You're gone. You're gone. You're gone. Hello. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Hallelujah. If that makes the truth any easier. And then we say we want to be 100%. We say we want to be sons. Huh? And we're in desperate condition. We are in desperate condition. We have brought ourselves into a position of desperation without even really knowing how desperate we are. And God in his divine intervention mercy moves in our behalf to bring a set of circumstances that will get our attention. Huh? I don't know about you, what I start doing is say, "Oh God, deliver me out of this, please. Huh? Deliver me out of this, Lord." Hallelujah. You know what happens when he delivers me? I'm right back in the same rut. And I'm doing the same thing over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Problem is the objective. What is it that God wants to accomplish? He wants to develop a nature. He wants to bring forth an entity that is God. Huh? God in Christ, that is Christ in man. There has to be a name for this. I don't know what it is. There has to be a name for it. A terminology that explains our positions it in that position. And the best thing I know is Christ man. Why do you think the Bible says Jesus Christ? Huh? Or Yeshua Christ, whatever the name was that he was named. Hallelujah. In the beginning. Hello? Because, it says that his name will be Emmanuel, God in us. Not just with us, in us. Hallelujah. You know, when you walk down the street, people look at you. Hallelujah. They should not just see you. They should see the image of Christ. They should feel something in the spirit that is different about you. Mm-hmm. Hello. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we used to travel with a person. I won't tell you who they were, but they had a particular gift. They had a particular ministry. And we could walk into a restaurant, sit down at a table, and just their presence would agitate people in the restaurant. One time somebody walked up to them and pointed their finger in their face and said, if you don't stop what it is you're doing, I'm going to punch you. They weren't doing anything. They were sitting there talking to us. Huh? Why? Why do you think that happens? Why do you think that happens? Because there's something in that individual, there's something in that person, that person who has a devil is seeing. Mm-hmm. And what that devil is seeing is agitating that person. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hello? That shouldn't just be every now and then. Have you ever met somebody and then later you're talking, well, they just didn't like me. Has anybody ever had that experience? Or am I the only one? Hallelujah. They just didn't like me. And then I come up with all the reasons why. Well, they're snobs, they're this, they're that, blah, 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 blah. Never understand that the reality is it's not me that they don't like. It's what I have. It's what is inside of me. It's what's living down there hidden. And somehow, in spite of the hiding, they see it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, brethren, let me get back. The Bible says that you have a message that is not just evangelic, that is not just Pentecostal. You have a message that talks about fullness. Full and complete, accomplishing that which God has apprehended you for. What was it Paul said? I press toward the mark of the high calling in what? It's saying, I want to be like Christ Jesus. How many of you said that when you got born again? Oh, I want to be like you. Oh my goodness. You really want to be like him? Are you willing to drink from his cup? I don't know. It's a serious question. Hallelujah. But you know, I don't have much of a prerogative. My knowledge is too good. My knowledge is too great. My understanding is beyond the evangelical. It's beyond the Pentecostal. It's really even beyond the holy place position. Hello? There's something of the significance of the reality of the authority that I'm aware of. There's something of that heavenly calling, that heavenly dispensation and disposition that I have some awareness of. Do you understand? Hallelujah. So if I determine that I do not want to go on with God, hello, I am not like the evangelical who does not know any better. I am not like the Pentecostal who does not know any better. Hello, do you hear me? I am not like him. And I'm not going to be assessed on the same standard. They're going to pull out another standard. And I'm going to be assessed and judged by that standard. Leonard Ravenhill has a tape out. It's called The Judgment Seat of Christ. Have you heard it? Hallelujah. I suggest everyone get that tape. You can find it on a website somewhere. It might even be on Preaching Beyond Words. I don't know for sure. But
YouTube.
Huh?
It's on YouTube.
Okay. It's on YouTube. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you're not going to be assessed. You're not going to be assessed as a Baptist. You're not going to be assessed as a Pentecostal. You're going to be assessed from the perspective of having all the accoutrements that are needed for the purpose and intent for which you were called. And how you measure up is going to determine how you end up at the end of the day. Paul said it this way, we are not of them that turn back unto perdition. Did you hear me? I am not supposed to be of one of them that turns back unto perdition. That means I am in jeopardy. If I determine that this message is too hard, too tough, too out of sorts with my lifestyle and my position of thinking, if I am not willing to be expended. What was the song? It came to my mind when we were this morning or something. I'd be poured out like wine. I've been poured out.
Will you
be poured out like wine on the altar?
Will you be broken
like bread to feed the hungry? Come on, brethren. What the Lord is asking for of us in this conference is a position of personal commitment. That's what he's asking for. And don't make the commitment if you're not willing to pay the price for it. But I don't know that that will alleviate your tribulation for not taking it. Huh? But I would rather be tribulated for righteousness' sake than for sin's sake.
Amen.
Because you know the Lord don't want you to perish. The Lord don't want you to be out there in hell somewhere. So he's going to do everything he can in his power to make sure that you make it in one fashion or another, whether you're 30, 60, or 100. I don't know how that works, but he does. Hallelujah. You know, if I go in as 30, I go in as 60, knowing I could have had the 100, I don't know how I would be able to handle it. I had a vision years ago, which I could not understand. But as time went on, I began to understand it. And we were in a major battle. And I knew it was the grand finale. And it was a terrible, bloody, bloody battle. It was terrible battle.
Hallelujah.
People were, the fighting was horrendous. And the mingling and the fighting, and we were fighting with swords and things of that nature. It was like a natural battle, fighting and slaying the enemy. And we had finished the fight, and there was one standing out there, and I was able to see this one. He was standing out there. He had this big, huge sword. Big, huge. It was as big as he was. And it was kind of stuck in the ground. Had this big hilt across it. He had his arms around it like this. Like he did not, if it weren't for the sword, he would not have the strength to stand up. When I was looking at him, and it was as though I could read his mind. I could feel his feelings. I could understand his dilemma. He was very glad, for lack of a better word. He was very glad that the fight was through. He was very glad that they had won. But I could feel the heaviness of sorrow and grief in his soul. Hallelujah. Because as he was leaning there on the sword, he began to look out over the battle. And he would see, he could see one of his comrades over there. And it was like, I suppose in some manner it would be like David's mighty men. You know, and there was like a playback, you understand. The man was there, and there were five or six or seven guys around him, and they were coming at him, and he was fighting and fighting, and he was knocking down the enemy, and he was fighting and fighting, and then suddenly one of them came up behind him and swiped him across the back, and the man fell down, dead. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he would look over here on another situation and see something of a similar scenario. All of these mighty men. And it brought to my mind, as I'm looking at this, the Psalm of David when he says, "Oh God, how the mighty have fallen." What was it when he was talking about Jonathan? Huh? The lament, the grief, the sense of the feeling of loss. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, for years I could not understand it. Because whether they lived or they died, if they died in Christ, then there was a redemption. But it wasn't as though that it was indeed the fact of the matter. It was as though they had come up to this point and they had turned back for one reason or another. Hallelujah. And you know, God doesn't give me these things for your benefit. He gives it for me to my benefit. My question to God is, am I one of the few? It says the road there into the presence of God, it is straight and narrow. Brother was showing us the little funnel there. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The road is, and it says, few there are that find it. Now, I don't know what few is in the economy of God, but whatever it is, do I want to be a part of the few, or do I want to be a part of the many? Many could not find that position. Many could not endure that position. Many could not, for one reason or another, would want to trade what it is that they have for something other than what it is that they can have. I think we're coming down to the wire. I think that God is giving us a last chance. I really do. I think God is giving us a last chance. What are we going to do with it? How are we going to handle it? And really, do we even believe it? Do we believe it? Do you think there is a possibility that you can't make it or you won't make it? Hallelujah. It's a sobering word. It's a sobering thought. But we are living in a critical, critical time. And quite frankly, I do not believe we have much time at all. God in His mercy has intervened and given us more time. I don't care what you think about what happened in the presidential election and all of that, but I'm telling you, I know. God gave us more time. But that time is not indefinite. And it's running out like sand in the glass. So it behooves me to be even more diligent. I think somebody mentioned the scripture there in Peter. He said, giving all diligence to do what? Making your calling and election sure. Hallelujah. It's in our power. It's under our authority. We have the ability to determine it at the end of the day. God bless you.